Now it's time for more of Southern California's sports fishing voice. Let's talk hookup. Get ready for more of the best fishing information and the hottest tips on improving your angling skills. Let's Talk Hookup is sponsored in part by Ford, the official truck of Let's Talk Hookup. Shimano Rods and Reels, fish with the best. Shimano. And now, Southern California's sports fishing voice, the hosts of Let's Talk Hookup, Pete Gray, Rock Cod Rick Mexa, and Corey Sandin.
And welcome back. Hour number two, Let's Talk Hookup right here on the Let's Talk Hookup app, Facebook, and YouTube Live, and 97.3 The Fan. Pete Gray here along with Rock Cod Rick Mexa in the world headquarters of Let's Talk Hookup here right next to the San Diego Landings on Port Loma. You can even see the Red Rooster from here, as a matter of fact.
Yeah, ideal here.
Captain Andy Cates is here from the Red Rooster, having a good time talking fishing aboard that fantastic platform for sure. Legendary.
Yeah, no doubt, man. We're having fun talking about it. We're having fun talking to you. If you want to join us on Let's Talk Hookup this morning, another full hour coming your way. The way you do it, 833-288-0973. Jeff is standing by, ready to take your phone calls right now. It's been a very fun morning. We got lots of time left for you. In addition to calling us on the phones, you can also send us a text. Text the show. It's only available through the Let's Talk Hookup app. And all you need to do is text in your question to Andy and make sure you include a name and a phone number in case you win that killer prize at the end of the show. We mentioned it at the beginning of the show, giving away a brand new APCO Slammer waterproof backpack, courtesy of our friends at APCO. It's a dry bag style backpack, an awesome piece of gear for one lucky caller or texter at the end of the show. And again, if you want to get through on the phones, it's 833-288-0973.
Yeah, indeed. I have a great text here I wanted to read for you here, and it comes from Darren and Menifee. Wow, weather we have for Pete and Rick, it's amazing. And Captain Andy Cates, on the long range trips, besides the target tuna, yellowtail, wahoo, other exotic bycatches that you see on those trips. And he says, can't wait for PCS.
There you go.
Yeah.
So the question is, what other...
Like, what other bycatches? Well, tuna, wahoo, yellowtail, what else?
Well, the nuisance of the trip that was, believe it or not, the nuisance of the trip that was mixed with some of those bluefin schools were the Dorado.
Really?
Yeah, and it was kind of... I mean, it got exhausting after a while, but, I mean, everybody caught what Dorado they wanted to keep for the trip. And some of those, you know, that beach area, some of the guys made it out to Aleos Rocks and fished yellowtail for that particular time frame. And that's kind of a, even for a trip down to the Hurricane Bank, boats will make stops, you know, either on the way down and try for bait, try for yellowtail. And not always the ideal time of year, but that's a stop that can be made or made on the way back, you know. Say you have great fishing or slow fishing, you can go back up and try that and do that type of thing. So, but on this particular time of year that we just experienced, the bycatch and lower banks was absolutely corroded with marlin. I mean, it's not your apex species, but it was fun
to watch.
Yeah, they're really fun to pull on for a day. You know, it's super exciting for a day, especially when everyone's got one on.
Yeah, and they're all jumping all over the place.
Yeah, all jumping all over the place. Everyone's going bananas. You know, it's like, oh, wow, that was fun. I mean, you don't want to dedicate a week to it, but, you know, and on that note, with that marlin fishery down there, you know, this thing has been just building and building over the last, you know, what, 6, 8, 10 years, this marlin fishery, and that's the apex fishery down there.
Right. Is it really?
Oh, 100%. And you get guys from Costa Rica, you got guys from all up and down the coast that are going to that Magdalena Bay area for
that.
They
want to catch 100 a day, you know.
Yeah, no, for the volume, you know. And it's spectacular, you know. And, you know, a lot of the yachts that used to go down and fish tuna, no more. They may go try one day, but they're not going down there to do that. They're going down there to sit up there in that bay at night and then come out and catch 50 marlin.
Yeah.
You know, and the boss is just pumped, you know, and all the kids on the boat.
Jump in the water and swim with them, take pictures.
Yeah, and get Dorado, you know, and in the fall there where they had pretty good wahoo fishing in there, too. So that variety in there was a big one.
Jump in the water?
Yeah, you know, there's...
Of course, I'm in the water for a while,
right? No, I can't say
it. It's like, wait, there he goes.
I have, but it was usually because there was wrapped around the up or something. No, gotcha, it wasn't for
sightseeing.
No, it wasn't for recreation. Yeah. Later, boys.
I'm jumping in.
Yeah, it's not. I mean, that whole area down there in prime time is the the main event is, yes, is the mix of different species of fish. You know, that's what makes it so appealing, you know, big tuna to yellowtail to Dorado, Wahoo, you know, and of course the mighty marlin.
The mighty marlin.
The mighty marlin.
That Wahoo bite that you were describing there. We had several of, you know, completely echo what you were saying. We have a lot of customers that go down there just for doing that, and there was a fun week or so of complaints of like, well, this is ridiculous. We can't troll our marlin lures. The Wahoo take everyone away from them. Like it was.
Oh darn!
It was so good. It was so good for a little stretch. Those guys were like, well, we lost $200 in lures this afternoon because you put them
too
back and have a three or four way attack on Wahoo, and they take them all away and they put them back out, and the same exact thing would happen again. Jeez. It was a pretty wild time.
Yeah, they were considered a nuisance.
Yeah.
How about that?
Yeah. And the nuisance, they were like 75 pounds.
Yeah, they're giant.
So it wasn't like you could just shake them off either. It was a huge burden.
Let's hope we see that again. Hey, 833-288-0973. Want to get through, have a chance to talk to Andy. There you go. Let's jump back in the phones, Rick.
We got it, man. Let's talk to Steve. He's calling from Lakeside this morning. Good morning, Steve. Welcome to Let's Talk Hookup.
Hey, good morning, guys. I just want to get a plug in to the Red Rooster and Andy. Year and a half, not last season, but the one before, I took my wife on the Mexican trip to go whale petting, whale watching, and all that. And I wanted to give her a taste or let her know what long range fishing is, because and we didn't go fishing, but you know, just to give her a taste of how great it is and why I talk about it so much, and really had a good time. The boat wasn't full. It was really nice, and I got to say the crew was on their best behavior, because I've been on the boat where there's no women, but they really treated there was families, and they were just the best. The chef was fabulous, and I want to encourage people, if you haven't done it, it was such a great trip.
That's awesome.
Yeah, well, I appreciate that. You know, we are going to put some effort into those next year for 2027 and get on that marketing plane as far as those go, because I think they're spectacular trips, too. And, you know, you mentioned women, but those trips, I mean, it got to a point where we had two ladies' heads and two men's heads. You know, you had to split it up because it was 50-50.
That's great.
And that was kind of the birthing of the whole thing, was I got these fishermen that come out, and their wives are at home. They don't want to go out and stomp around with 30 guys, you know.
Right.
So it made it and the appeal was to take your wife out and go and get into a ponga and go pet whales, which is extraordinary. I mean, it doesn't, to the fishermen, it sounds like, oh, yeah, I'll go check out some whales. But when there's 50 of them and they're pushing the ponga up out of the water underneath you.
Those are so friendly.
And, yeah, and you're petting them and hugging them. I mean, that's the apex when you hug or kiss the whale. That's like, oh, my God, you know, it's divine. It's a divine moment. But that was something that I wanted to, and we did have a lot of our loyal anglers that brought out their wives just to
get that experience.
Yeah, and get the feel for what the boat is and the amenities on the boat and how comfortable the boat is.
How spoiled we are in the long range.
And then the girls would get off the boat and they'd be like, oh, I see. Really hard at it out there on the fishing trip. Yeah.
Hardcore fishing trip.
Oh, you
right?
Poor thing. Yeah. You know? So, yeah, I get it. And that was kind of the idea behind that, was to let everybody get an opportunity to enjoy the amenities and that experience. So,
that's cool. Well, I'm glad you got a chance to go on that, Steve. Thanks a lot for the phone call.
Thank you very much.
You have a good text.
I thought so. Hey, what a great show, guys. I've been intrigued by the Red Rooster 3 for many years, and I would really love to hear a little bit more about the boat. Andy, could you give us a little bit of the background of the boat, the amenities and the features? Everybody says it sets itself apart from the fleet. I was wondering if you could tell us what your favorite parts about the beautiful boat is.
That's a good question. I mean, a lot of the boats, it's a Bill Poole built boat, so it's in a long line of long range sport fishers that are out of San Diego. This particular boat was built in 82, and it's a smaller sister to the Royal Polaris, and it was built for extended day trips, being up to 18 day trips. So all the amenities and the comfort and the room that's available on the boat seats, you know, up to 31 people. On those longer trips, we take 23 people, so there's even more room. But the way that it's set up is there's 16 staterooms, so you get that privacy. You know, if you're going to be out for even a week, you know, it is a big deal to have a nice, comfortable stateroom downstairs or even upstairs, but downstairs. And the air conditioning and just the overall comfort is a big part of those. You're not exactly roughing it
right.
when you're out on the boat. But, I mean, there are periods where, you know, you get into weather and it bounces around pretty good and this and that, which does make you feel like you're the mariner out there dealing with the elements. But, you know, for the most part, in this day and age, a lot of these long-range boats, you know, they cater to that. They'll try and stay out of the weather. You know, we don't necessarily make an effort to pound through weather so that it's uncomfortable. Comfort's a big deal, just like I mentioned with the tackle earlier, you know, that the comfort of the state-of-the-art tackle, and that's what we do with these long-range boats, is we have state-of-the-art amenities on board that make it comfortable for people that come out and have a nice vacation. You know, you got to remember, it is a vacation. It's sport fishing. You're not going out on a commercial death march.
No.
You know, you're going out
it's
to
a vacation.
You're going out to get a nice fish that you can get a picture with.
It's like the ultimate vacation.
Yeah,
for me,
I mean,
really.
It really is. You're supposed to get off the boat and be like decompressed. You know, like
right.
Wow, that was bitching, man. What a great trip.
You know, the first long range trip I ever went on was with Frank aboard the Royal Polaris, like long trip. And anyway, he said when he was one of his speech. He says, "Take your watches off." Because we'll tell you when to eat, when to sleep, when to fish. What an ultimate deal that is for somebody who's like running time all the time. Oh, I'm late. Oh, I got to be here. Take your watch off and don't worry about what time
it is
because it doesn't matter, right?
Yeah, it really is a spectacular vacation.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, I do it for a living because I'd love to go out and
You're the one that has to have the watch on.
Yeah, I'm the one that has to have the watch on. But the boat is, it's a really comfortable big boat and it's really nice. And the galley amenities are fantastic. And, you know, the probably one of the most upsetting things that we have on the boat in this day and age, I hate to say it, but is the screen time. You know, you get guys down there.
Because you now have internet
on
the boat,
you know, and it's like we'll go to serve dinner and you got, you know, 23 grown men sitting there and they're all playing on their phones. It's like, oh my God, you guys, you know, really?
Go out and enjoy the air.
Yeah, or they're all inside. And I'm like, hey, look at this out here. You got some whales breaching or some other stuff going on. And it's like, you're not ever going to get a chance to see this. It's grease calm and you're all playing on your phone. So, I mean, you do what you want. That's fine and all. But I'll make announcements and say, hey, guys, get off your little phones, man.
Yeah.
Come on out
and check this out. It's a beautiful day. And
there's
calm.
You know, I mean, it is a nice tool to have, especially if guys are doing business. You know, they pick up emails. You know, stay in touch at home with that WhatsApp is awesome.
Yeah.
But, you know, enough's enough, you know.
The plague of society.
Hey,
I have a great text here from Gwen. Let's see, it's Aaron in Santa Barbara. And Aaron says, what are some of the mistakes you see made on long-range newbies, and how do you avoid them?
The biggest mistake that I see people do is they treat a rail rod like an old harness rod. The rail rods are... Like, for instance, the first thing the guy does is he gets a bite, he winds down, he puts it in gear, and then he goes for that rod belt. And he loads that rod up so bad that it ends up yanking the hook right out of the fish. The rail rods have been made so that you fish them under your arm. That's how you fish a state-of-the-art fishing rod. And it is one of the biggest mistakes that people make. And it's the most irritating thing to me because I'll be screaming from down the rail, don't put it under, you put it under your arm, put the rod under your arm, and it's just human nature, you know, you want to wind down and you want to swing, but that's not how we do it, man. You wind down, get it tight, raise the rod tip, leave it under your arm, and let it run. Let the fish run, and then it self-sets, and you're ready to go. But, I mean, that's one of the things.
Don't need the big Joel Ralston swing.
You don't need the big Joel Ralston swing. No, you don't. You don't. And you know, the same goes with a lot of the other species, especially with wahoo fishing. I go through a pretty extensive seminar on technique, you know, and etiquette. Etiquette's another thing, you know, putting your gear away properly, stowing your gear, stowing the hooks, making sure that it's safe for the rest of the anglers on board. Casting etiquette, you know, watch the lure, make a call sign as you cast out. So there's a lot of things that aren't so much based on terminal tackle and technique, yeah. but etiquette is a big part when you're fishing with other people on board. You don't want to be that guy that is considered dangerous right. on a sport fishing boat. You don't, you know. People will look at you and go, "Ooh, boy, that guy's dangerous. Steer clear." That's not what you want to be. You want to be the guy that's following procedure and etiquette and learning from other veterans on etiquette, you know, how to stow and store. You know, it's
man, you bring up such a great point that gets overlooked so much. I mean, just stowing and storing. I mean, how many times have you had a guy walking down the rail and somebody had a Marauder hook flopping around or a jig that was attached to an eye and
yeah.
an under over, let me slide by it, and all of a sudden somebody's scraping their back because there's a big hook point exposed. It's got to happen all the time.
Yeah, or getting impaled by it, you sure. know. And, you know, another thing is that now with the trolling lures, you've got those nomads. Mm-hmm. You know, when we're fishing Wahoo, you got these nomads, and those things, those hooks are deadly sharp. And you look at it wrong, and it tries to go in your skin. So there's a lot of stowing on that.
That's a good call,
as well, you know. And it'll eliminate a lot of problems. And immediately what it does is it starts animosity, too. If you're not stowing your gear properly after a long seminar on how to do this, then people start pointing fingers and this and that. But then they learn and go, oh, yeah, you're right, man. This makes sense. The other biggie is the 8-ounce sinker that you leave on the hitting the side of the boat. That's where I come by. And cut them all off, and then I put them in the bucket, and then you can, you know, come back, and you can actually repurchase your 8-ounce sinker on board the boat, you know, at any given time. The shop's open all the time.
All the time.
Yeah.
That's
no,
beautiful thing.
You can, it might not be on the rod and reel anymore, but it's available.
It's available.
Yeah, you can still get
for
it.
For a price.
Yeah.
Well, let's jump back on the phones. 833-288-0973. Jeff's standing by at the van.
Hills and Ventura, you're up next on Let's Talk Hookup. Good morning, buddy.
Good morning, you guys. Thank you. Great show. I have ridden with Andy at two different trips. They're like Father's Day specials. This is a long time ago. And in any case, I have two questions because I know Andy's going to dodge the one question. But one question is, when there are seiners around you, are they ever cool? I mean, if it's not Aaron Barnhill, are they ever cool about it? And then the other question was the origin of the Red Rooster 3. Like, is Lee Palm a redhead? Or, you know, but the origin of the name Red Rooster 3, I'm wondering.
Here's a dandy for you. Lee Palm, believe it or not, the Red Rooster came from the Korean War. The guys were in the Korean War, and there was an opium den in Korea, and it was called the Red Rooster.
Ha! No way.
Yeah. So that's where that came from. And as far as the seiners go, you know, we've had a long history with, and it wasn't always a great history with the commercial fishing fleet in Mexico. But it, you know, they seem to take less. There's less and less. How should I say it? There's less and less seiners in the territorial waters now. Most of the fishing's done outside of 12 miles, and a lot of the fishing that we do is inside of 12 miles, so we don't see as much seiner activity as we do. You remember hearing about the trips where we're at the potato bank, and here comes the seiner, and he just about wraps the boat, and it's like, oh, my God. You know, it's kind of a scene, but a lot of that fishery now the guys are doing outside of territorial waters. So, you know, and this this relationship that we have with Aqua Farms, it is good, you know, and they, you know, they regulate what they do, and we share information. There's a lot of sharing of information these days because it's so easy to share information. Our overnight fleet here out of San Diego, I mean, those guys that run those boats, they talk to each other regardless of code group or this and that, you know. The information is
information
abundant.
Is key when
it's abundant, you know, yeah. And that's why you always see, you know, you'll see an area of fish pop up, but it's, you know, it's detrimental that they all get a piece, you know, everybody just wants to get a piece. And of course there's going to be one guy that gets more than the other, but the fact of the matter is, as long as everybody gets some, you know, that's what it matters, you know. And
you you don't need a bunch, you just need some.
No, but there's always going to be a highliner, and that's just the nature of the sport. But, you know, the fact is that as long as everybody can get some, and that's kind of what the industry is going towards, that direction, you know. Everybody just wants to get a piece.
Yeah, for sure. Hey, I have a a little bit of long text here from Santos and Escondido, but it's a good one here. It's got a lot of questions. Good morning, guys. Always tuned to the show. Question for Andy. On a long-range trip, 6, 8, 10 day, I enjoy fishing the spinning rod. On the bow, throwing stick baits and poppers on the surface for yellowfin and yellowtail. The last trip I went, I got popped off a couple of times on a big yellowfin. I typically use 65-pound Spectra and a 3-foot top shot of 50-pound fluoro. I adjust the drag for the line that I'm using. Do you have any recommendations to keep me from getting popped off?
I would have to guess that you're swinging. As soon as that thing hits it, you're swinging. What you want to do is wind through it.
Aha. Uh-huh.
You know, it's just okay. Like fishing a long rod. You know, guys fishing surface iron on a conventional reel, when you get a bite on the surface iron, you keep the rod pointed at the fish and you wind
through
it.
Whether it's a spinning reel or a conventional reel.
That might be why you're popping them off, is because you're watching it and you're spinning, and then you see one come up and hit it and you yank it right away from them.
Uh-huh.
You know, just keep the rod pointed at it even on the spinning reel. Either lower the rod tip down a little bit and keep turning the handle, and they'll grab it and change direction, and then you'll have more success.
Yeah, and a better hook set.
Absolutely, man. Yeah. That whole wind down and swing thing,
No.
It's not happening, man. It's not...
Just wind.
Yeah, you turn the handle, wind through the bite, and you'll have success.
Good suggestion.
Hey, I had a good text come through. It says, good morning, guys. Which unique long-range destination does Captain Andy most enjoy getting to go fishing? I know you do trips of all lengths. What is the spot you're most excited to get to go to?
I like going to the Ridge.
Okay.
Yeah. The Ridge offers a lot of areas within area. They're all achievable even that day or by an overnight travel. And the variety down from a 80-pound tuna to a here to find out this year 100-pound wahoo.
Yeah, totally.
This, 100
the,
wahoo.
Yeah, the searcher got fish that was 5 pounds. Alan Lindbergh got a 96-pounder or something.
Well, a lot of big ones on the roof.
We had a couple in the 90s. We had one that was 97. But I mean, this was some of the best fishing that I've seen at least 10 years as far as grade and numbers. And here it all comes down to we were fishing. Sure. You know, that wasn't your fish. That was kelp fishing. You know, that minus what you saw down in the marlin grounds, but that was just that huge volume that came up and spread out all over everywhere. There was some on the shallows, but the majority of it was right off on the fathom curve, you know, in that pristine water. It was spectacular.
And kelp patties, too.
Yeah. Well, you remember the years prior where we were northeast of the rocks by the Rosabank, and we were getting – it was kelp patty fishing then, and that was thinking back on it, I don't even know how long ago that was. It was, you know, 15 years ago. Jeez. So that is where we found not only the numbers but the grade. This was spectacular.
Yeah.
This year was spectacular. Alejos, not so much. You know, there was a couple of stints early in the year at Alejos Rocks on stock grade fish. You know, and a 35-pound wahoo is a beauty.
Take that.
I love a 35-pound wahoo, but when things get ramped up and all of a sudden the average fish is 75 to 85 pounds,
geez, crazy.
Yeah, it's really something.
Yeah,
really something.
Really cool.
It was spectacular. This year was spectacular. If we saw anything like that again next year, it would be monumental.
Yeah. Well, with the predicted El Nino here, maybe we'll have them right in our backyard here.
You never know, but we'll see. I mean, it's like I said, every year is different. That's the one thing you can count on. But whatever happened this year, it's going to be different next year, whether it be terminal tackle, whether it be areas you're fishing, whether it be grade that you're fishing. You know, I mean, it's all relative. You will a 25 pounder, but a 25 pound fish on certain days is, you know, I guess it just depends on if you're in an arena and you're catching 25-pound fish and then you catch a 50-pounder amongst that,
right,
you're the hero.
That's it.
It's just the arena that you're in.
It's
you
a 25-pounder on the new Seaforth this afternoon. It's
right.
Not fired.
Yeah. In that arena, you're completely fired up. You know, it's just like anywhere, man. And you're in the arena and you have to get a couple or one of the biggest fish of the day, you're the hero, man. You're the man that day. So it's – but that – I do like going to the Ridge because of the variety of the options. And once you get there, you're there, you know. It's great. It really is a great arena.
That's a good answer. All right. Hey, with that said, it's time to find out what's going on the water. It's time for our FishDope.com report by the Anglers Realtor, Yosef Hassini. Yosef Husseini, the Catch Report today is sponsored by the Fish Pros at Fisherman's Processing in San Diego, where you get the premier processing experience. Check out the easier option to book your processing orders for your long-range trips. With more team members, Fisherman's Processing stays far ahead of the rest. More same-day capacity, the finest in customer service. You can stop by their location in Old Town on Pier Street or check processing.com. Be sure you make your reservation today. I went by Fisherman's Processing yesterday and picked up one of those 35-pound wahoo that you were talking about.
Nice.
A great bud who just came back from the Royal Polaris and slid a fish our way. And, man, they make it so easy. It is so nice just to roll in there. You see all the smiling faces of the girls behind the counter, and Mary Lee's in the back making sure everything ran smooth as usual. And it was just quick in, quick out. Boys got stickers and were fired up and seeing everybody cutting and knives moving. And it was just really cool to see Fisherman's Processing having a big day yesterday with a couple of boats coming back.
Cool.
Yeah, it was really, really fun. And as you know, the quality is just
the best.
It's unbeatable, man. Pretty slick. Hey, we're going to find out what's going on. Yosef's on the line. Good morning, Yosef.
Hey, good morning, guys. We've got some pretty decent wintertime fishing going on. Up in the Santa Monica Bay area, there is squid showing up. It's mostly around tanker buoys and in the Redondo Canyon. Calico bass and sand bass fishing has been really good at the Santa Monica Artificial Reef. They caught 4 to 8 pound sand bass last week up there.
Wow, 8 pounds?
Whew.
Yeah.
So that means the average was 5-6 pounds?
That's crazy.
Yeah, it's nuts.
That's a good picture there.
There's also still some triggerfish around and decent sculpin and bite up there. Sculpin bite's been on the El Segundo Pipe, 40 to 200 feet of water. Up in Catalina, there's a small number of sea bass and yellowtail being caught on the live squid. Some of the sea bass.
Oh, we lose
a few halibut still being caught off the hard bottom, 10 to 50 water. On the front side, there's still plenty of bonita around. There are the 1 and 2 pounders still, but there is a decent amount of 4 to 7 pound class fish scattered around the island. San Clemente, bass, need to be super good fishing at the boiler rocks in the backside and deep inside the kelp line. Most people that are able to get up against the kelp there are scoring some big calicos right now. So using big swim baits and crank baits. La Jolla also has been pretty hit and miss lately as far as the bonita bite goes. Some days it's really good. Other days it's pretty slow and scratchy. But they're still biting out there. They're still
another full
not
week
wide
of-
open by any means. But guys are picking up some bigger fish over in the La Jolla area, some home guards.
All right.
Lower chance of a new membership. And this is the time when Fish Dope, in my opinion, is the most important. Summertime, all your buds are out there, everybody's fishing. It's easy to gather up information, but, you know, when there's not a lot of guys on the water, it's nice to have the biggest code group around, and that's fishdope.com.
Yeah. And then, of course, for real estate, nobody's better than Yosef Husseini. He is the best when it comes to real estate in the county, and go and search for him and get on it, and you get a free eval, home eval of your home, no obligation or anything, and that's always great. But thanks, Yosef. Sorry we had issues with the phone there, maybe some cell internet connection issues, and we'll talk to Yosef and the fishdope.com report next week.
There it is. Hey, I want to remind you, it's sponsored part by Gamakatsu. They've got an amazing line of fishing accessories that are now available that includes fillet knives, everyday carry knives, those great G-boxes and bags to store all your tackle, the ceramic braid scissors and more, along with the best in freshwater and saltwater tackle and hooks. It's all available at your local dealer, or you can check gamakatsu.com.
All right, very good. All right, well, we were having some internet issues today, and we apologize for that. So, we'll get Yosef's report again next week for
sure.
Got
it. Hey, when we come back, we got more Let's Talk Hookup coming your way. More phone calls, more with Captain Andy. You stay tuned. It's Let's Talk Hookup on the Let's Talk Hookup app, as well as Facebook, YouTube Live, and 97.3 The Fan.
It may be winter in Southern California, but those of us who live here know it's a great time of year to go fishing, and certainly not time to put your gear away. This is Ben, and you will see me at my dad's shop, Dana Landing, in Mission Bay, the one-stop shop for a great day on the water. Food, bait, tackle, beverages, and more. This is the ideal time for bay bass fishing, and I get the inside scoop from Johnny. Heck, he will even rent you one of our killer blue skiffs. This is also a good time to go work on your reels, and Doug is the man for that job. If big largemouth bass are your bag, nothing beats East County Bait and Tackle. They have all the right stuff and live bait for a perfect day on the lake. Lemon Grove Bait and Tackle is super cool too. For both freshwater and saltwater tackle, ECBT is at the end of the 67 freeway on Maple View and Lakeside. Lemon Grove Bait and Tackle is on Broadway and Lemon Grove, and Dana Landing is next to the Dana Launch Ramp in Mission Bay. Check danalanding.com for more details.
Hi, this is Christy Wheeler with Dawson & Associates Insurance, your full-service agency specializing in boat insurance, including charter, commercial, and personal use boats, business insurance, and travel insurance. We work hard to get you the most coverage for the best prices and guarantee the lowest rates available on all the travel plans we offer. So give us a call today at Dawson & Associates Insurance at 619-460-5615 for a free quote today.
This President's Day, your San Diego County Ford dealers proudly salute you during the Ford President's Day sell-a-thon. Right now, get limited-time deals across Ford's award-winning lineup. The lineup features the versatile Ford Bronco Sport and the rugged Ford Bronco, built for every adventure, the capable Ford Explorer, and even the iconic Ford Mustang. It's your chance to save. Find the perfect Ford SUV designed with the power and utility you need now during the President's Day sell-a-thon. Everything ends February 16th, so don't wait. Hurry into your local San Diego County Ford dealers today.
Captain Jamie Tennis from Season Sport Fishing here. For the past few seasons, a dart-styled metal jig has come into play in a big way for tuna offshore or even rockfish down deep. AFCO's crossbreed jig has quickly become the go-to for many since it came onto the market. AFCO's crossbreed jig is good to go right out of the package with a 4X treble hook, heavy-duty split rings, West Coast colors, and sizes 60 gram to 120 gram. Pick one up today at your local tackle store or learn more on AFCO.com.
Welcome back to Let's Talk Hookup. Having a great time here this morning. Captain Andy Cates of the Red Rooster 3. It's been a very busy morning, but we still have time for your phone call. If you want to get through, it's 833-288-0973. And there's a pile of great text message questions as well. But keep them coming, man. We got plenty of time.
Yeah, for sure. Steve from Tahoe says, great show this morning with Andy. Andy, what's your favorite meal on the Red Rooster 3? And that's one of the things we really haven't talked about is the food on these long-range boats like the Red Rooster 3.
Yeah, the food is really spectacular. The guys put a lot of effort into it. And, you know, there's two people in the galley. There are two chefs, really. And whether it be, you know, for prep or whether it be for the dining, it's a lot of work goes on in there. I know it's going to sound kind of weird, but Mike Nall is one of our lead chefs, and he makes this manicotti. And it's like at the end of the trip, you know, it's usually the last day and it's winding down, but the amount of effort that goes into it and the overall end finale of it. And you know, there's the prime rib and there's the steaks and there's this and there's that and there's the fish dinners and the,
sure,
and the lamb and the pork and the pork chops and, you know, all these great things. But that manicotti,
that's your favorite dish.
I don't know what it is, man, but I always look forward to it. And a lot of people just kind of take it for granted, you know, manicotti. God, man, it comes out so
good. But it's like how being a dining at a 5-star restaurant every day.
It is nice, yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Breakfast, lunch, dinners, snacks.
And people got to understand that there are misses. You know, it's just there's nights where it's not, you know, oh, this happened or that happened, or the weather's rough, you know.
Imagine that.
Yeah.
When the weather's rough, trying to cook and that kind
of
stuff.
Yeah, so you got to take that into consideration. But, you know, for the average, you know, I would say 90% of the seatings are very nice, you know, where you're very happy with what was served.
It always blows me away the level that those guys can, you know, operate at, in the space that they have to do it, too. I mean, these are like polished meals that look killer, that have all the sides and garnish, all the things that go into it. And it's a chef and his assistant knocking that out for 30 guys or 25 guys, whatever it is. And it's like the number of hits outweigh beyond anything. It's such an impressive, it really is. Like these guys don't have a giant commercial kitchen with, you know, dozens of sous chefs helping them through the way. It's a couple of guys, yeah, and what they kick out is just spectacular.
Nor can you replenish.
Right. Good point. Totally.
Once it's gone, it's gone. You know, I mean, you may have to slide over to another boat for some more Coors banquet beers. But, but for the most part, you know, once it's gone, it's gone. And the guys, you know, improvise and change things around a little bit. So it may not be exactly, but, you know, just the the provisioning and getting everything on board is
think about the duty, duty of the chef, you know, that's managing produce on a trip that's 15 days long.
I know.
Holy mackerel.
It, what's amazing is that, you know, the packaging these days, with, for instance, something like salad, you know, that you can get it 15 days. It'll last.
Really?
It'll actually,
you have a fresh salad
on
day 14.
Well, that spring mix for some reason. You know, a lot of the folks have switched over to a spring mix instead of like an iceberg, because the iceberg, you know, falls apart, but that spring mix, you can have salads until the last day. You know,
wow.
It's really something.
Pretty amazing. That's cool. Yeah, so want to remind you that the day before Day at the Docks, Sunday night, the 19th is Day at the Docks. Saturday is the annual bottom fishing tournament at Southwestern Yacht Club. It is one of the premier events of the spring, no doubt. And all the proceeds go to raising money to go take kids fishing. It all goes to Captain Rollo's Kids at Sea, Friends of Rollo.
Cool.
So it's a shotgun start on Saturday, and then they have a great no-host bar, and then dinner with live auction. The live auction is live auction and then also raffle prizes. They raise a ton of money that way for the kids' fishing programs, but you can walk away with some pretty amazing prizes at that raffle, too.
There's, like, so many divisions or ways that you can win. They have men's and women's divisions,
kids,
juniors and small fries, you know, your heaviest stringer of five rockfish, the biggest fish on a sailboat, the biggest ling cod. Like, there's all kinds of things that they do, you know, like different jackpots, different levels, and at the end of it, it's a rad club, all raising money for Friends of Rollo.
Super good people. And early bird registration ends April 3rd. You're invited. Everybody is invited. Mm. Everybody's welcome to come. Easiest way to get in is find one of their posters or go online and just scan the QR code, and you're get in and register for that. So check that out. So, again, it's the Southwestern Yacht Club's April 18th bottom fishing tournament, and it's going to be a lot of fun. And if you're available to go fishing, grab a buddy and go check it out.
Yeah, well said. Well, hey, with that said, we had another great text come through. It says, good morning, guys. What a great show. And I was blown away at the size of bluefin that Captain Andy had on the last trip. Are you seeing in general larger bluefin this year as compared to last year? How do you think that big grade is going to affect things as we roll into our next fishing season? Will it have any bearing on the fish that we catch locally? That's from Daniel in Santa Barbara.
Well, you know, that's a good question, because there's been big fish seen so far this year anywhere from the 32 line down. So there's, you know, a long line of it. That particular area down there was concentrated. So it was quite a sight to see. But, you know, maybe this year we will have more fish that are in that bigger range. You know, I don't know. Because last year it seemed a little lean.
Right.
You know, there was a couple of hits for sure. But it did seem a little lean on that trophy fish. And I'm not downgrading an 80 to 120 pounder.
Funny,
I mean, that's a beautiful fish. And a trophy in that arena. Once again, you gotta put yourself in the arena. But you know, it's impossible to tell. I mean, I could sit here and say, yeah, and then, But, you know, that's what makes this whole thing so inspiring and so attractive, is that you just don't know what's going to happen. And you don't know when it's going to start. You know, there was been years where the guys have started fishing in April, and maybe with weather permitting, we'll see that this year. And give guys a chance to spread their wings that time of the year. Just have an early season, mind you. You know, that might be when the bigger fish are around. I have no idea. You just got to pay attention to what's going on some of the reports, you know, as the boats are going. A lot of the boats are doing maintenance right now, but they're going to be ready and geared up for April, and hopefully to get some boats out during April. And then May seems to be a pretty popular month for this fishery. So you'll just have to keep in mind there. It's hard to say, but there was a pretty good long line of fish. And for whatever reason, it just seems like it's – I mean, I hate to say it. Well, I don't hate to say it, but it seems like there's more and more, man. It's
crazy. Better this year than last year.
I don't know. I'm not going to
– There was a lot of fish around last year. There was a lot of fish around there. Let's just keep it coming.
Yeah, I mean, it's just hard to put your foot down on any of that, but it's as of right now, with this spectacular weather permitting is one thing,
right?
Too, you know, you got to remember that if weather gets poor, fish go down,
right?
You know, it's just the way it is, you know. But weather permitting and a good stretch in May in June, and you may have an opportunity to catch a big tuna.
Yeah, for sure. Hey, John from Mira Mesa says, I always love nostalgia whenever Andy's on the show. May 1st, my first five-day trip was with you on the Red Rooster many years ago. It was with Russ Iser, and he was on the boat with fishing Bonita Cedros, fishing Guadalupe. Have great memories of that experience. Also bittersweet that we no longer have Chef Frank and Russ around. But you remember that long time ago, fishing with Russ Iser way back? Or was that before you were on the
Rooster? That was probably before I was there.
How long have you been on the Rooster?
Since 92.
92. Wow. That's a long time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is.
And
Russ, I don't want to date myself.
Yeah,
but
Russ was around back then.
Oh, yeah. No, for sure. Yeah. You know, Steve comes out and Jim come out. And we do a couple of Iser line trips with them. And Steve's doing great.
Yeah. So did you start as captain on the Red Rooster?
No, I was 22 years old.
And deckhand.
Yeah, deckhand.
Yeah.
And
who was running the boat then?
John was, Grabowski.
Oh, Grabowski.
Yeah, he ran the boat from 92 to 95, and then Gribble ran the boat for a little bit, and then then I moved in. So the timing was good.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was terrifying.
I love that, it was a kid
man. It was terrifying, you know.
And so you took over, how old were you when you took over?
27.
Wow,
like I said, terrifying.
A lot of eyeballs looking up at
you, like, oh god, who's this kid? as a lot of the young men that are involved in this, they all have that same introductory, that same beautiful introductory, like their first trip, whether it be on, you know, the new Loanne or you know, any boat in the fleet, man, it's just as terrifying.
Yeah. So where did you start? Where did you start your
Well, my dad
career owned
the new Loanne. Him and Buzz Brizendine were partners with
Nick
the Prowler.
Cates.
Yeah, Nick Cates. And so as I was growing up, the new Loanne was used as disciplinary measures.
Disciplinary measures?
Wait a minute, explain that to me.
Yeah, all I wanted to do was surf all summer, and then if I didn't get the average was, so every week during junior high, I had to take a progress report. Every Friday, I would take a progress report to each teacher, and there were six classes, so I had to take it. And if I didn't have a C in the grade or a satisfactory in the citizenship, the board was going back to Sun Harbor Locker.
Whoa.
Yeah. Yeah. So every week was just like...
And then you were condemned to the new Loanne.
Yeah, they were either condemned or just no board.
Because
it was off-season, just no board. So that was a disciplinary move. And then if we had severe issues... Then it was summoned to the boat in July. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
And worked the deck.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
Well,
yeah.
Good for us that you were sub-satisfactory.
Yeah. No, I made it. Yeah, sure. I made it. The C. And I tried everything. Like, I'd get a C minus and I'd put a plus on there, you know, just a modification.
Yeah, a little modification.
Like, The hard part was when it was a U instead of an S first. It was, like, hard to modify that, you know.
That's rough. And you grew up right around here in Point Loma?
Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah. When my dad had the Fish and Fool, he had the Fish and Fool first, and then he had the new Loanne in partnership with Buzz. He had the Prowler. At that time, in seventh grade, I lived over in Bay Park.
Okay.
And went to PB Junior High, and then went to Mission Bay High. But there was a couple of intern schools. One of them was Keeler Middle School. It was over by Lincoln High. Because I had such a hard time getting to the school. That was the hard time. Because
your dad was out on the boat.
End up at PB Point. Down at PB Drive. Surf, you know. Deviate.
Yeah.
So he goes, okay, let's see how you deviate when we bus you down to Encanto.
Oh.
And you can go to Keeler Middle School.
Oh.
For that. So ironically, it went from four Fs and two Ds and 72 truancies to all A's and B's.
That's great.
Imagine that. You know, he's like, so let's just say you do walk off this campus. Where do you think you're going?
Yeah.
And in the 80s, the early 80s, that area down there, you know.
A little rough.
A little rugged.
Yeah.
Euclid was a little rugged. For a little skinny white kid running around.
But you turned out pretty well.
Yeah, 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 yeah. Everything.
Nick did a good job.
Yeah, he did. Yeah. It was a struggle for him.
Yeah.
It was.
Well, it's hard because he's on the boat a lot.
It was hard.
Yeah.
It's a great story.
Yeah. It was hard.
And you're still surfing today.
Oh, yeah. I'm about ready to get geared up. I just picked up a new board yesterday from Bill Menard.
Nice.
Yeah, so I'm going to go head over the hill here and give it a whirl.
Yeah, that's some surf.
I mean, look at the weather.
I know.
Crazy. We took the boys down to the pier yesterday, man. It's just there's some real surf going on.
Yesterday was really big.
That was pretty fun.
Yeah, yesterday was like, oh, and the wind got on it pretty early, but yesterday was big. Today's going to be a little bit more manageable.
Hey, Charisse in Huntington Bay says, good morning, guys. Great show as usual. I'm booking a trip for my birthday in June, a 3-day on the Red Rooster. What can I expect to fish on that trip?
Well, that's when we were talking about that nighttime fishing. You know, that's been pretty prolific in June. And, you know, there could be possibilities of daytime drifts as well. But at that time of year, it's generally bluefin tuna, you know. And there may be a chance at some small yellowtail on kelp patties. But that's an offshore arena. And this may be the trip where you go out and you catch a 100-pound bluefin.
Yeah.
You know, and then you get your camera ready. You put it up on the scale. And then you get home after your 3-day decompression, you know, get away from work, and then you can show everybody at work what your mighty catch was. And let's just say it's a 50-pounder. Beautiful nonetheless. Nonetheless. So, yeah, I would expect to do an offshore-type fishing trip, and I hope, like everybody hopes, that you leave the dock and you have flat, calm weather for 3 days.
That's it.
That would be beautiful.
That's sometimes challenging in June.
It can be challenging in June.
But you never know.
Let's not call it flat calm. Let's call it 8 to 12 knots.
We're fine with that.
Yeah, that's good.
We're
good
with that. Because
that's a big boat. I mean, the Rooster is how big?
105 feet.
It's a big boat.
Yeah, she'll have plenty of room.
Solid.
Yeah, she'll have plenty of room, spacious, have her own restroom, shower.
Yeah.
Be in good shape.
Yeah,
I love
for sure.
Yeah, it'll be nice.
And a fun text is, Captain Andy, I love this show, having so much fun with you guys. I love fishing yellowtail. It's my favorite thing. I was wondering if you could give us a rundown of where the best place and best opportunity at catching a big yellowtail, say over 30 pounds, is on the coast. What's your favorite yellowtail spots?
On the coast, you know, one of the premier areas that still stands, and even up until, you know, last week in February, is the banks at Alejos Rocks. You know, that was producing some nice yellowtail there. Any time in the early part of the year along the ridge, you know, you've heard of the 13-fathom, the 23-fathom spot. Anytime June, July, when the water's still cold, that's where we have seen some of the most spectacular yellowtail fishing from top water. And then along the beach up there, you've got other areas, meaning San Pablo, and then down below Natividad and some of those areas that are available down there. But the yellowtail thing, for the most part, the best time of year on the ridge even is July, August, and then that fish starts to move up off the ridge because it gets hot. The yellow, as the ridge gets warm, people always say, you know, we're catching wahoo, but how come we're not getting any yellowtail? It's like, well, because the water's 77 degrees. When the water gets 77, they move up the beach to another shallow, perhaps Hippolito, perhaps San Pablo, perhaps, you know, whatever, that calls for a little cooler temperatures, maybe 71 degrees, 69 degrees, something like that. So the yellowtail are going to move up, and you may be up the way. But traditionally, that water around the ridge and all those shallows there in June, July, and the first part of August is in the low 70s or the high 60s, and you have an opportunity to see what you're hoping to see, like you've never seen in your life.
Do you ever catch the crazy standout big ones in the same areas that you catch big numbers of them? You know, like you always hear over the years, there's a 90-pound or an 80-pounder at Guadalupe or a 70-pounder here or there. Like
not on the ridge. You know, a big one on the ridge is probably 50 pounds.
Sure,
which is a dandy.
Giant.
And I haven't heard of, you know, there was a few monsters last year for a little period of time, just like one here, one there, one here. But there was fish up in the 70s at Alejos.
Jeez.
At Alejos.
So yellowtail. You know?
Yeah, there was a couple of big ones that were caught. And, I mean, it's like anything, you know. You go out and you try for the fish, and you may be the chosen one.
Sure.
You know?
If all places were open, all places were available, you could go anywhere to catch one. Does the biggest one come from Alejos? Does the biggest one come from Guadalupe? Does the biggest one come from Cedros? You know, like...
I think that the biggest fish came from the outside.
Okay.
From being Guadalupe and Alejos Rocks. There was big fish... back in the day around Cedrus, schools of big fish where we had those spectacular, that one spectacular decade where, I mean, if you caught a 32 pounder, it was little.
Crazy.
You know, it was all that 32 to 45 pound fish. And that was when we were fishing up in the shallows in the sand all the way up the lee of the island. I mean, it was absolutely spectacular.
Wow.
And then for whatever reason, that fishery kind of started to, I shouldn't say decline, but it just became a little bit more spotty, you know, the condition change, whatever the case was. But we were always very responsible with what, you know, regulations and what we kept, you know, as far as those trips go. So, you know, whether they moved down or whether they moved out, you know, who knows. But,
cycle in,
you
know, cycle out.
It's just one of those things. And it does seem like once you get onto a bit of a pattern, then there is a pattern, and you'll see that fishery for a couple years or 2 or 3 years. And then you'll see it move to another zone or something like that. You know, like this year, we had a great year at San Pablo, the shallows around San Pablo. And last year, not so much. You know, it's just...
Yeah.
You know, and you think, oh, we're doomed. And then the next year, you're like, oh, my God, it's great again. And the grade there is beautiful, you know, 18 to 25-pound fish with some sneakers in there, sneaker picture ones, you know, 32-pounder, something like that. I mean, it's spectacular.
Yeah. Hey, Matt in L.A. wants to know, what's the history behind the Red Rooster? I mean, there's been obviously three Red Roosters, there's been, right?
We started with the name. Somebody asked about the name from the Korean War. And the first boat that Lee Palm had, and he had multiple boats at the time. They actually had a bait fishing boat. He had receivers.
Uh-huh.
You know, so they had a bait.
His own receivers.
Yeah. And then remember that big anchor that's over there?
Yeah.
That Lee Palm drug that up.
No kidding.
The big anchor over there at Point Loma Seafoods.
Oh, yeah. No kidding.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, he drug that up, and he had it up on the beach forever. It was up there on the beach, and then somebody dragged it up and put it in the cul-de-sac there.
That's cool.
But anyway, so the Red Rooster 1 is now...
We're only about 30 seconds, so let's do it.
Oh, Ranger 85. That's Red Rooster.
Is the old Red Rooster.
Yes, the original Red Rooster. Yeah. The Red Rooster 2 is the Islander.
The Islander, yeah.
The 3, or the Chabasco, is now the Old Glory.
Uh-huh.
And
that was the 2.5?
No, it was called the Chabasco. At one time, they had the Chabasco and the Islander, or the Red Rooster 2 side by each.
And then the Red Rooster 3 was built in?
82.
82.
Yeah, so they got rid of the other boats to finance the Red Rooster 3.
Wow.
I love it, man. Hey, well, as you can hear, we had a great show coming for you. You stay tuned. Somebody's winning that brand-new AFCO waterproof dry bag. We got more Let's Talk Hookup coming your way on the Let's Talk Hookup app, Facebook and YouTube Live, and 97.3 The Fan. Has their go-to fishing spot. My spot is Kingfisher Charters in Sitka, Alaska. Rock Cod Rick here to say if you're looking for the ultimate Alaska experience and the best value in Alaska, it's Kingfisher Charters. Owner Seth Bone and his crew consistently deliver deluxe accommodations, the finest food, world-class fish processing, and top-of-the-line fishing experience. We've literally sent hundreds of our listeners to Kingfisher, and they all can't wait to go back. Most Alaska resorts make big promises, and they don't deliver, or they'll nickel and dime you to drive up the cost, but not Kingfisher. Everything is included. Your license, fish processing, super deluxe accommodations, amazing food, airport transfers, your gear. Literally all you need to bring is your layer clothing, and Kingfisher covers the rest. They also have the finest boats and charter captains in Sitka, all for the ultimate value. Take it from me. Book your trip to Kingfisher Charters and you'll thank me. Kingfisher Charters, 800-727-6136, or check kingfishercharters.com.
For local or long-range fishing, we have you covered. Hi, this is Doug Kern from Fisherman's Landing Tackle, the saltwater tackle professionals. Being a part of the San Diego Sport Fishing Landing gives us a distinct advantage when it comes to getting you on the latest and hottest tackle for your trip. Our expert staff knows exactly what you need for your long-range or local trip, and we will not sell you something you don't need. We carry a huge inventory of the right tackle. So visit us at Fisherman's Landing Tackle at Fisherman's Landing in San Diego. The name that stands out among anglers is Fisherman's Landing, your top choice in local and long-range fishing. Our hardworking crew will make your fishing experience one to remember. We offer the finest open party trips from 1 to 3 days, the best charter boats available, and of course, our world-renowned long-range fleet is second to none. All our open party trips can be easily booked online at fishermanslanding.com or give us a call. I'll see you at Fisherman's Landing in San Diego.
Adding a fish finder to my fishing kayak completely changed the way I fish. I'm Logan from Fastlane Kayaks, and I've been fishing from a Hobie kayak for over 4 years now. For about half that time, I was fishing without a fish finder, and trust me, it's called fishing blind for a reason. But don't just take my word for it. Here at Fastlane Kayaks, we've been installing and using fish finders on Hobie kayaks for over 25 years. Over all that time, we've done our fair share of trial and error to find the best mounts and methods for rigging a kayak. So instead of trying to learn 25 years of experience through endless YouTube videos, just drop your kayak off at Fastlane. Every Fastlane install is clean, user-friendly, and built to last in real saltwater conditions. One way we do that is by housing all the fuses and electrical connections inside a small waterproof case. Keeps everything protected, organized, and easy to access. Whether you're looking to add a fish finder, install a motor, or upgrade into a brand new fishing kayak, come by Fastlane Sailing and Kayaking in Mission Bay or give us a call at 619-222-0766.
The reels that Southern California anglers have been waiting for are here. Shimano is proud to introduce the all-new Talica 40A and 50A reels. The Talica series is Shimano's flagship two-speed lever drag reel. It sits at the very pinnacle of the offshore world. Shimano has increased the fishability of the larger Talica models by reducing rotational resistance at high drag and improving durability in critical positions within the reel. The all-new Talica 40A and 50A now boast Infinity Drive, which employs two drag washers housed on the side of the reel, allowing for an ultra-smooth, powerful drag system, while at the same time increasing winding power under a load by as much as 40%. The new Talica is built around a more compact, cold-forged machine aluminum one-piece frame. Plus, there's also a new higher high gear built with a Southern California angler in mind. The new Talica 40 and 50A are available now at your local Shimano dealer.
Welcome back to Let's Talk Hook Up. Having a great time. Okay, it's time to find out who's got that killer APCO waterproof dry backpack coming their way. Andy's going to flip the prize coin here.
Oh, boy.
We'll see if we have a caller or a texter. Go ahead, Andy. Give us the honors.
Pressure's on.
Ooh, nice flip. We have a caller today. Congratulations, Steve in Lakeside. You've got yourself a brand new APCO Slammer waterproof dry backpack, courtesy of our good bros up at APCO.
All right. Yeah, that APCO stuff is just unbelievable. Check it out, APCO.com. And hey, Andy, thank you so much. Fun. Always a pleasure and just a riot having you on the show here. If somebody wants to ride the Red Rooster 3 this year, are there spots available in summer? And
there are some spots available on certain trips. And then preseason, you know, June, there's some 3-day trips that are available. But like I said, we should have electronically, we should be available here shortly. But if not, you can call the office at 619-224-3857, and Maria's there. Maria's there.
Maria's awesome.
Yeah, she'll be there. Yeah. She's there 5 days
then,
a week from
8
to 4.
And then RedRooster3.com is the website.
It's, yes.
RedRooster3.com. Hey, thanks, Andy. Hey, thank you to Jeff and Adam for manning all the technologies there. And thanks to you out there. Next Saturday, Captain Tim and Duke Ekstrom from the Royal Star will be here. And then Sunday, Ollie and Chris from Blue Sea Stabilizers and BD Outdoors. Thanks for listening today. We'll see you next week right back here on Let's Talk Hook Up at Facebook, YouTube Live, and 97.3 The Fan.